Good day, friends. Again, it is our joy and great delight. As you know, we are studying the Epistle of John. It's a wonderful thing to sit down and just open the Word of God and see what God has for us. Most of us Christians, down through the years, though we may know a little about the Savior and about His program and His purpose on the earth, and the Word of God, and the church, and so on, yet we haven't begun to explore the wonders of the Word of God, of the revelation of God Himself, and the great desires of God's heart. How wonderful to know that He has made provision for every man and woman to become His child. We can see all we want to about the fact that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and that most people have no desire, no room, no thought, no time for God. But nevertheless, God loves men and women, and He gave His Son as a sacrifice to put away the barrier, to put away sin, every sin, so that you and I can stand in the presence of God, forgiven every sin, covered with the righteousness of Christ, and to become His children, the children of one who is God. And the Apostle John is seeking in the epistles to inform us by the Spirit of God how we can enjoy spiritual life, to enjoy the life that God has given to us. For too many Christians, this idea of eternal life is some vague thing. Oh yes, I have eternal life, whatever that means, whatever that means. My friend, you can start and enjoy that life now. It says in the Word of God, he that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. God's life, related to God, that means we've come right into His very bosom. As the Lord Jesus said from another viewpoint in the Gospel through John, in that day, and I quote John 14, 19, 20, in that day you will know I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. This union in life. But how is this life enjoyed? Through fellowship. How do you enjoy your life on earth with others? Your human life. Fellowship. Life is made up of fellowships. We were dealing our last lesson with verse 3 of the first chapter. The great desire of the apostle's heart is that we would have fellowship with them, and he goes on to say, our fellowship, our partnership is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is my desire, and it's my desire for you too. And I'm sure it's the desire of God. Oh, how He wants, how He yearns, how He desires your fellowship and my fellowship. Now, we were saying in chapter 1, verse 1 of 1 John, John's experience, and I think he's speaking for the apostles, when he said, you remember, we heard Him, we saw Him, our hands handled Him. That was their experience with the incarnate Word of God. God manifest in the flesh, full of grace and truth. Was His life full of grace and truth? We saw Him. We heard Him. We heard His gracious words. We remember the day when the policeman of the temple said, never man spake like this man. And we handled him. Who? The Word of life. In the second verse, we bear witness. We want you to know what we saw. We want you to know what we heard and what we handled. He was a witness. And then in verse 3, his great desire, when he said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you too, the great yearning of John, that we too might have fellowship with him and other believers, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we were dealing with this in our last lesson. Now, I'm going to go back to that third verse. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. That word fellowship, again, may I remind you, is a word that includes partnership, made one with Him. And as I said and I repeated, many people could say back in their hearts, well, I can understand the Apostle John and the Apostle Peter and the rest of them who walked with the Lord and saw him and heard him, how they could go on and revel in the fellowship of the one they saw who went back to heaven, one who burst the bands of the tomb and is now exalted to the throne of God, the throne of grace. Yes, but also one of the apostles wrote, let us come, let us come with boldness to the throne of grace. There obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. You know, to me it's an astounding thing that after being years of being in the Christian life, studying the Word of God, we're just beginning to get a little vision, a little glimpse of the heart of God and His desire for the fellowship of His people. No wonder Samuel Rutherford could say, and I quote from, this dear man who lived was born in 1600, born in Scotland, and he said, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, saints at their best are strangers to the incomparable sweetness of Christ. Ah, God opened our eyes to see the sweetness and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the marvelous thing is we can have fellowship with Him, with each other. Partners with God. On God's team. Oh, you say, well, that's for preachers. Oh, no, I'm talking about every believer. You're on God's team when you run that store of yours, when you're working in the machine shop, when you're working in the office, when you're working in the plant, or whether you're preaching, or whether you're a pastor, or a teacher, or a Sunday school superintendent, doesn't matter where it is, wherever you are. But Mr. Mitchell, I'm tied down with a bunch of children, and I hardly ever get out of the house. That's the best place for you to serve the Lord and have fellowship with Him. Where? With your children in your home. Heaven, your home can be heaven to them. The presence of God. When they grow up and go into the world, isn't it wonderful to leave the world with its sin and corruption, run home to be with mommy and daddy who love the Savior and hear about one who loved them, died for them? Ah, John says, we want you to come into the same fellowship we have. I tell you, it means access. I'll put it very bluntly, it means experiencing day by day the very life of God. And then John says we have our fellowship is with Father and with His Son. Bless His name. How we need to encourage each other to come into this fellowship. Encourage all God's people. You know, there are quite a few of real believers have so been bound up with the things of the earth. They've got cold and indifferent. They're lukewarm. They go to church when they feel like it. And some don't go to church because they don't like the church they're going to, or they don't like somebody in the church, or, listen, you're not going to find a perfect assembly, a perfect church down here. Wherever you find people on earth, you're going to find an imperfect thing. It's not until we get to the glory when we'll all be transformed and made like unto Him. Do you remember Hebrews chapter 10:25? Neglect not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. And the more I believe in the coming of the Lord Jesus, the more I see that His return is not far away. For he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Many are saying amen to that. Then all the more reason for you to meet with God's children. But there's so many ornery ones. Well, that may be true, but they're God's children. They're related to Him. And maybe they're ornery because other Christians do not manifest love and patience, tenderness with them. Oh, friend, I could sit here and tell you about Christians I've met down through the years. Just think of a woman saying, Mr. Mitchell, I'm a believer in Christ. But do you know, except for the Savior, I don't know anybody who loves me. Living alone, frail in body, nobody loves me but Jesus. Ah, He always loves us. But it's wonderful to have fellowship, too, with God's children. And there are a lot of Christians who need your fellowship. Neglect not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you belong to a local church, as far as possible, you'll meet with God's people. Not just once a week. Now, there may be circumstances that might prohibit you. Physical weaknesses, family problems, I don't know. But as far as possible, you'll meet with God's people. Why? Why? Because we all belong to the same family. We belong to Him. This is the desire. Our fellowship is with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful? One with the Father, one with the Son, and one with each other. This thrills my heart. This thrills my heart. People say, hallelujah, amen, how true it is. I'm one with Jesus, one with the Father, and one with you. Belonging to the same company, the family of God. And with all our peculiarities and weaknesses and failures and so on and so forth, we're one in Christ. And one of these days, God's going to bring us to Himself, and we're going to be conformed to the image of His Son. You know, we used to have a dear man come to us in our missionary conferences. We used to call him Brother Bach, B-A-C-H. He came from Copenhagen. He was the head for many years of the Evangelical Alliance Mission, of TEAM. And for a great many years, he came to our missionary conference. He was a breath of heaven. Dear, dear man of God, saintly. Possibly wouldn't be recognized by the world very much, but I'll tell you, my friend, he knew something about him, an intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And I always remember, I'll never forget, how often he said to our students at Multnomah School of the Bible, dear young people, do not criticize the people of God until God gets through with them. Don't you like that? And when God gets through with you and God gets through with me, we're going to be just like Jesus. As 1 John 3, 2 and 3 says, when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who hath this hope set on Him purifies himself, even as He is pure. What I'm trying to get into your hearts is the yearning of the heart of God. And I want the same yearning that's in His heart to be in your heart, in my heart. And if God really, really wants my fellowship, let us not disappoint Him. Let's come at any time and every time we can into His presence. Come with boldness to the throne of grace. We have access into the presence of God. And thank God no one's going to stop you going in there. Not even Michael the archangel or Gabriel the messenger of God. You come as a child of God. You're related to Him through Jesus Christ, His beloved Son. This was why our Lord became incarnate, to bring into being a new race of people who will have not only the life of God, but real fellowship with God. Now, don't disappoint Him today. You have fellowship with Him today. It may be, I say it very candidly, it may be before you can get down and really enjoy His presence, you may have to confess a few things before Him. That's between you and Him, however. And His ear is more open, and His heart is more open than anyone else, because He loves you with an everlasting love. That's why He died. His love is evidenced by sacrifice. Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for the church. To put away the barrier, you might not only have life and relationship, but you might have fellowship with Him. This is the theme of the Epistle of John. Now, one more thing. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Not just these first three verses, by the way, but the whole epistle was written, what for? That your joy may be full. Fullness of joy. You know, sometimes I quote this, these things write I unto you, that your joy may be half full. No. That your joy may be full. You see, the source of our joy is in God Himself. The source of our joy is that we're related to Him. The nature of our joy is because of fellowship with Him. And the extent of our joy, He wants us to be filled full. You know, our Lord said in John, you remember in John's Gospel, In John 15:11, I believe it is, he said, "My joy I give unto you, that your joy may be full." You see, wait a minute. Did our Lord have full joy? Why, they rejected him. They spurned him. They kicked him out. Yes, his joy was full. What was the background of his joy? In John 4, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me," while it is today. "This, my joy, is filled full. Doing the will of his Father." Nothing else mattered. The tests and trials of life, the opposition of the enemy, the hate and the envy of these religious leaders didn't affect the fact his joy was filled full. You remember he could say in that chapter, "I give you my joy, I give you my peace, I give you my love. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. My joy I give unto you, that your joy might be full. And my love, I want you to love each other as I have loved you." Oh, listen, friend. Do you know of anyone just like him? Oh, no. There's no one in the whole universe like him. And he wants your joy to be full. God doesn't want you to go around like a worrywart. Maybe I shouldn't use that term. Going around worrying with a long face. God wants your joy to be filled full. Now the world, he goes out, and he spends his money, the worldling goes out and spends his money on the lust of the flesh. He's trying every way, in devious ways, what for? To get full joy, and he's never satisfied. Never satisfied. A man makes $1 million, he's just as eager to get the next million. He's never satisfied. No joy. He buys his yachts, he buys his homes, he buys his cars, he buys anything his heart desires. When he gets through, he's still lacking joy and peace. The most blessed people on the earth, the most blessed people in the universe are God's people. And I tell you, my friend, I have seen people living in sod shacks who loved a Savior, so happy, so full of joy and peace, very little of this world's goods. I know I've been with them, with an earthen floor, with mud walls, loving the Savior, with a joy that's inexpressible. Sometimes they're persecuted, hated. Doesn't affect their peace, doesn't affect their joy. It's true they're burdened for their neighbors. It's true they intercede for these who persecute them. But the heart of their joy, the foundation for their joy, is their relationship to the person of the Savior. It's what John says. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. Do you remember, I may be allowed to do this, in John 3, down toward the end of the chapter, about verse 29 of that chapter. John the Baptist, you remember, said, "This, my joy, is filled full." What made him say that? Jesus had come on the scene. And John's disciples were very jealous for John, that Jesus was taking the place of leadership. And John says, No. I've seen the bridegroom. This my joy is filled full. He must increase. I must decrease. This my joy is filled full. And you follow it through your Bible. I needn't go any further on this question. In John 16:24, he says, "Even the Father loves you because you've loved me." John 17:13, you go on down through. Oh, the love of God the Father and God the Son for his people. I just want to say this personal word to you, Christian friend, as I close the lesson today. Then I'm going to go on in our next lesson, starting in verse 5, and take up fellowship with God who is light. But I'm so anxious, so desirous, that every one of you who profess the name of the Lord Jesus will experience this fellowship with God, to become his witnesses of a Savior who loves men with an everlasting love. and it was made provision for men and women to be cleansed from sin and have intimacy. I say that word, intimacy. Intimate fellowship with God. To come with boldness to the throne of grace. Even Moses and Aaron, when they came in the presence of God, they had to swing the censer when they came into the holiest of all. It's true, Moses went on the mountain. God talked with him face to face as a man talks to a friend. You say, well, that's wonderful. But God has always wanted that. Abraham, my friend. Jacob, my servant, but Abraham, my friend. Friendship is based on confidence and fellowship. Moses, he talked with God. Moses, God talked with Moses face to face as a man talks to a friend. Exodus 34. See, friend, let me tell you today, God wants you and enjoy this amazing intimacy of fellowship and friendship with the living God. This is what he wants for you. This is what he wants for me. If I'm talking to any unsaved person today listening in, God wants it for you. You mean I can come in the presence of God? Yes, if you take Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, put your trust in him. He'll forgive you every sin, cleanse you from it all, fill you with the righteousness of Christ. You can stand in his presence, have fellowship, real fellowship with him. This is what I want with you, for you and for me today. Jesus said, my joy I give unto you, that your joy may be full. And John wrote, these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. And may I say, full joy depends upon full fellowship. If you're out of fellowship with the Savior, you come. Confess your sin to him. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you and restore you to fellowship. If you're an unsaved person, you come and accept him as your own personal Savior. Become a member of the family of God and pass from death to life. Now the Lord bless you today for his precious name's sake.